Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is Season 2, Episode 5, which is also Season 2, or should I say, Episode 2 of the coming, Come Jesus, Come, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, just you're double right. checking, double checking.
You're right.
I felt a hesitation there.
That's right. Just wait a minute. Right.
Welcome, Don. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. Awesome. That's right. Good morning. Good morning to be alive.
Yeah.
Want to thank all our podcast listeners. So once again, any questions, concerns, comments, you can end up via WhatsApp us at 954-388-8780. And we thank you for all whatever social media you use to contact us. Yeah. And who is back? The main shepherd.
Pastor Joe.
All right. Welcome, Pastor.
Hello, guys.
How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank God.
Good. I want to thank you for your inspiring message yesterday.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, so we just want to thank you for that inspiring, but we'll get into that, of course, as always. Hey, Don, I just wanted to tell you, continue the great work you're doing. Thank you.
Oh, you too, Joe. You
too. Only because of you. All right, before we move on, let's always have a word of prayer.
Amen.
Yes. Father God, we thank you once again, Lord, for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. As I always say, when you wake up, Lord, and you bless us, it's always another day of hope. We thank you again that you've given us your grace and mercy, Lord, upon this nation, upon this country we're in, Lord. Continue to bless us through this pandemic, Lord, that we continue to draw closer to you. Continue to bless our administration, our leaders of this country and this world, Lord, that you will continue to guide them the right way that they need to go. We thank you once in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 All righty. I like the sketchy title. Don't let lust kill your trust.
Title?
And well, it's catchy. It is. Think about it.
Okay.
If I was walking down the street and I saw it on a billboard, I would look like twice. Like, huh?
You're right.
Don't let this lust kill your trust and must. You would want to inquire, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's like a lot of words, Pastor. It's a lot of words.
The floor is yours. The floor is yours.
I tell you, it's a lot of words.
Yeah.
Why you come up with all those different? Why don't you just say, "Don't let your lust take you away from God," or something like that? Why you have to put the trust and the must in there? It's kind of like, why?
It's a rhyme.
Why?
No, you know, I looked up. In a rhyme dictionary, all the words that are short rhyme.
I like this guy.
To me, it sounded very, very funny. Mm. Don't let lust kill trust and must. And it says exactly what you said, you know. But if I said what you said.
It wouldn't be as exciting, right?
Who would have become curious?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
Well, look, I like Linda's story, but I know you're going to focus on something different, but I like the Linda story.
Yeah.
And by the way, thanks for letting me know what Linda means beautiful, because I have some relatives named Linda.
Mm.
And I didn't know it means beautiful, so thanks. Mm. Thanks for letting me know that.
That's beautiful in Spanish.
In Spanish. Gotcha. Oh, okay. So let's get right to it. Second Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talk about the
from 3 to 11.
That's right, man. Yeah. The mocked and the mocking mockers. Mm-hmm. Explain that how that came to be, along with your title.
So the mocking mockers.
Mm.
That's the Greek expression.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an emphatic expression of what mockers do. Yes. Mockers mock. That's what they do.
Right.
Yes.
But it's one thing to say that you have a mocker around, or a scoffer, mm-hmm. or a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's something else to say it's a mocking mocker. It's a scoffing scoffer, a bullying bullier.
A lot of words, Paz. A lot of words.
It sounds like we're in English class. Say it again, class. Mocking mockers.
It gives it the emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
Something is happening here, because you know, most of the people around you these days are just indifferent. I don't care. I'm not into these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true. It's true.
Then there are a few that would say, yeah, okay, but I have a different opinion.
Right.
Okay.
And there you can discuss.
Mm-hmm.
You can even have an argument, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can have mockers, people that simply like making a jest out of everything that is not the way they think about reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the mocking mockers. The mocking mockers, the reason they can really mock is because they know you well.
Yeah.
Mm.
They know your worldview.
Mm.
They used to be like you.
Mm.
And now is where the concept of don't let lust kill, must trust and must comes in, because they got to the place where they have become mocking mockers through this process.
Okay.
First came lust.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the unbridled, unstoppable, irresistible attraction, or just this craving, being pulled in by their own lust, they lost trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see any validity any longer in what God tells them.
Mm.
God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Is useless, because if God has a word, and if Jesus Christ is the incarnate word, then the word and the one that has a word has a saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In your life.
Mm-hmm.
But then because of lust, you lose trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever God says, it doesn't matter. There's no must. So that's
right.
How lust kills trust and must.
But
you have no argument.
Mm-hmm.
You can always mock.
Mm.
Okay.
And this is a way of life to some people. When they cannot argument, they can't argue against you. They have no relevant evidence of any kind, then they will mock you, make fun of you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, so you're talking about lust. Our definition of lust is more of a physical attraction. It's more of a lusting after somebody scenario, but you kind of broke it down a little differently. How were you trying to put in all the other aspects of lust in there?
The current usage of the word lust is more physical, more sexual.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. But initially in the English language, lust is much wider than that.
Mm.
It's any kind of attraction or craving or being pulled in by a desire that is destructive in any way.
Mm.
Even that's why I gave the illustration of the chocolate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's one thing to eat a piece of chocolate, and it's something else to be practically under the dominion of lust for chocolate.
Yeah, it's
Somebody asked me, pastor, can you have a lust for reading the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah.
And said yes. If you read the Bible and you have this lust of reading the Bible to know how to use Bible verses to kill other people, to prove other people wrong,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to always find something faulty in somebody else's life,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
the reason you read the Bible, or because atheists,
they read the Bible.
Atheists read the Bible.
They still do.
So that they can turn everything upside down.
Yeah.
And there's a pleasure in it. Then yes, that's lust. So the wider sense of lust is not limited to sexual desire or attraction.
Right.
It is any kind of destructive or potentially destructive, even if it is legitimate at the surface.
But it's widely influenced, this lust, in a different connotation, you know, being influenced, like you said, the unbridled lust and all these other things that people deal with. Mm-hmm. But one question I want to ask you is, when you went back to the fathers, the religious jargon, I believe you used, why that's when the lust started, because they didn't believe after they grew up in the Christian, I guess, household.
So when I was pointing out the religious jargon, I was pointing to their identity.
Okay.
It's very funny how a pagan or how an atheist, somebody that was not born in a religious context, speaks, and how somebody that was born in the father's house.
Gotcha.
So your fathers were spiritual people, were believers. And even at the level of your language, the jargon you use betrays your identity.
Okay.
Something similar happens to Peter in a context when his enemies, when Jesus was being persecuted and taken from one place to the other and judged and mistreated, Peter was caught in the garden or in the yard there.
Yeah.
And they made him speak. And when he opened his mouth, they told him, hey, even your language betrays you. We know you used to be with him.
Right.
Okay. Something similar, not exactly the same thing, but something similar happens to those that used to be Christians, were raised in Christian families. They had the fathers. They knew biblical teaching, and they still know them.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the stories and the promises of the Bible because they were taught in their childhood, right? They grew up like that. They learned Bible verses, memory texts for Sabbath school, for Sunday school, depending on their religious
tradition,
but now, and that's a process, that's a very interesting process that you can notice at an individual level and also the history of Christianity. First, you start doing things that you know are not okay, but lust moves you in that direction,
right?
And you allow yourself to indulge things. And then after a while, you feel like you are trapped. So now you are in trouble because your conscious keeps texting you. You know? It tells you, hey, you're not doing the right thing. So now you have to make a choice. You either justify your lust, and for that you have to muck. You have to get rid and muck the set of beliefs you had.
Right.
Okay. Or you will get rid of lust and you go back to the set of values that you had.
Okay.
In the history of Christianity, they introduced all kinds of practices in Christianity that are not biblical. And after they did that, they took the Bible and reinterpreted it.
Right.
According to their desires.
Right.
Okay. So then these people, they not necessarily say, yeah, there's no God or the Bible is not accurate or whatever. Mm-hmm. They will say, hey, it's not the way we used to think it was.
Right.
So they reinterpret reality so that they can somehow justify or fit in that lust, that behavior they developed based on lust.
So basically, we're basically compromising in order to make it more acceptable to allow different other people to come in, maybe to your faith. And so you drop some of those values and say, yeah, we don't do that anymore. But we see that a lot in Christianity. There are lots, so many different faiths, so many different ideas of how to serve God. Do you think that that's...
Well, if only the reason, if only the reason had been somebody's salvation, I would almost say, yeah, well, I can understand that. Unfortunately, that's not the reason. Historically, when deviations from biblical teaching started, it was because of political interests.
Right. Okay.
It's true.
Economic gain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because let me point out something from the history of America. How could Christians practice slavery?
Yes.
And they because they wanted the salvation of the slaves? No, not at all. On the contrary, they had rules and regulations that the slaves couldn't go to church. Right?
Yeah.
It was like God didn't care about them.
Yeah.
But why did they do what they did? Because there was a lust there.
But they did it in the name of God. They said, well, you are justified to do that.
Yeah, but behind the
curtain,
they had economic interests.
Yes.
Money.
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm trying to point out is this is a very dangerous path. Because you want to do something, and then there's nothing more perverse then come to the belief that God is your ally in this.
Dangerous.
Because if any human being does something wrong on his own or with the devil as an associate, that's something. You know, it's wrong. It's evil.
Right.
But when a human being takes God as an ally in his wickedness.
Yeah.
Now, watch that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a different level of wickedness.
Beyond. That's like moving toward the flood, but that's a...
And the reality is, when a human being is drawn in, is pulled in by his lust.
Right.
It's almost impossible to stop. Only God can get him out. Like from fire. I remember a story of somebody that said, hey, I was so madly in love with this girl. And I prayed, Lord, if it's not your will, please stop it. So now the day came for him to travel by train and ask her into marriage. Right? Good old times. So he had to walk from home to the train station.
Right.
And because it was muddy, he was walking with his brother and he had boots.
Okay.
For the mud, you know.
Right.
And then the plan was that once he gets into the train, he will change and he will wear his shoes because, hey, he's going to ask his fiance right into marriage and he will leave the booths with his brother. Now what happened is when they were close to the train was already departing. So now they ran and he caught the last wagon of the train, jumped on the wagon, and then he took his boots off, changed his shoes, right? threw the boots out of the window, and his brother had to run in the fields to gather his boots, right, to collect his boots.
Right.
Now, and then he said, you know, it's funny how we are when we want something.
When we want something. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I pray that God will stop it, and God wanted to stop it. But who saw it?
Oh,
gotcha.
See,
I got you.
It's a funny story, but it's a real experience, you know, when you know, and God wants to stop you, but God will not hit you in your head, with few exceptions, I would say. Yeah, you have your thoughts. You can decide what you want to do.
I got you.
Wow.
I wanted to ask you about this fiat creation. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with the car fiat.
Is it spelled like that?
Other than, the etymology of the word.
You could have let me on. You could have led me on.
Sorry?
I said you could have led me on about the car thing.
Yes. So fiat, mm-hmm, that comes from the Latin. Fiat lux, be light. Fiat,
okay,
be lux, light. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same spelling as the car?
Yeah, it's fiat. Yeah. F I A
T. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, fiat. And that's how they call it technically. Right? I only use the word fiat in there because I had fiat, flood, and fire.
Yeah.
but the idea of fiat creation is what you have in one of the Psalms, Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9. Mm-hmm. They speak about God creating with his word. Let me mm-hmm read that verse quickly. Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, mm-hmm, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And verse 9 says, for he spoke, and it was done. Right. He commanded, right, and it stood fast. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the fiat creation.
I like it in the sermon. This is the funny part, Don. Well, he spoke, and he spoken about Aki, and then Sawfish came after. I don't know who was in this sermon listening, you know, but it was funny.
For the communion too. He did it for the communion too. Yeah, breaking the bread. You're talking about that kind of.
Yeah.
You wanted Aki on itself.
Of course, I don't need any sauce.
No. It can't go like that.
Of course, it can. It tastes very good. I've had it many times. It's nice.
I know somebody in church was clapping about that one. They were like, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, just speak it.
I know, right?
By the way, Joe, what would you have said if you had a fiat power?
I would just say no more pandemic.
No more pandemic?
Mm. Yeah.
Fiat no pandemic?
Yeah, fiat no pandemic.
All right.
At that moment, it depends on the situation. But I don't know. I got to think about that one.
Okay.
You know, it's almost like the three wishes in the genie bottle. You know, mm-hmm, you got to really think about them.
And watch what you say, you know.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Believe me.
Yep.
You talked about the 1,000 days, the God version. Mm-hmm. You know, you said 1,000 days, and then his version was a day is 1,000.
1,000 years is a day, and a day,
yeah,
is 1,000 years. I think the only explanation that fits the context there is that it wants to suggest that God's way of experiencing time is different, mm-hmm, because what is 1,000 years for somebody that is eternal, without beginning and without end?
Right.
That's how we perceive God's reality, something that has no beginning and no end. So you have infinity on this side and infinity on the other side, if you look at a timeline.
Yeah.
Right? So in a context when somebody has all the time in the world, so to speak,
yeah,
1,000 years is like one day. Okay, so for him, this tension, this struggle we constantly have, okay, but why is he not coming? Why is Jesus not coming? Because it's almost 2,000 years now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's what Peter says. Hey, for him, that's a different reality.
Yeah.
You think about these things like this because your life is very short.
Yeah.
But
just for the sake of illustration, imagine that you lived like the patriarchs for almost 1,000 years, 969.
Mm.
Okay? So 969 years, if you live for that long, then at the end of your life you would say, well, I thought Jesus was going to come in my lifetime, but maybe in the lifetime of my grandchildren.
Yeah.
Mm.
But because your lifespan has shrinked so much, and 70, 80, 90, 100.
If you're lucky, yeah.
If you're lucky.
Very high limit.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can be frustrated because of the passing of the time. But if you were in the time of a pre-flood, then if one patriarch dies at 900 plus and another patriarch is born on the same day, so then you have two lifespans,
yeah,
only, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal that he did not come back in almost 2,000 years. And there's a reason why. And that's his long suffering or his patience.
Amen.
Right?
Everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you have there, Joe? Up there.
Where?
You keep looking in one direction there.
I'm looking at the timeline.
Timeline. Okay. I thought there was something that pulls you in there.
No, it's lust.
All right.
No, I have this.
Sorry, our listeners can't see.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See, this is our inner circle. Get it? That's understood.
All right. So you talked about the persecution, and one of the things that you said was, like a pagan or an atheist, they're not the ones that are going to bother you.
Mm.
Persecution is
at least not to the extent and magnitude of those that come from the community of faith.
Right. Why is that now? Why do you think that is? If we are all like-minded within our church, why would we see worse persecution from within our church, from our church people? We should understand that. You know, when persecution comes, it will be from people from outside that don't understand.
Yeah, first of all, I would not say that we are all like-minded.
Ooh.
I know it's a very popular jargon.
Mm.
It's a myth that all those that belong to the physical or visible reality of the church,
right,
they are one-minded. No.
Mm.
People that belong to the visible reality of the church have never been all one-minded.
It's true.
Mm. And if you don't believe me, go back to the beginnings and see that from the very beginning, among those that were called, because that's the church. The church is the ecclesia.
Mm-hmm.
It's those that are called by God. They are called out by God.
Mm-hmm.
But among those that were called out by God, you always had people that just came because they were curious or they had some interests, or they came honestly, but then lust came.
Yeah.
And lust killed trust and must. But they remain for some reason, they remain, or they left, but they kept an eye on you. Okay. It's very interesting how the Bible says that if there was a devil, a demon, right, in somebody's house, in somebody mm-hmm. somebody's being, right, and the demon left, and the guy cleaned the place, okay, and everything was nice and beautiful. And the demon came back and saw the beautiful place. It was all clean, like somebody that is showing the house for sale.
Right? Yeah.
He will go back and get a bunch of demons and tell them, "Hey guys, I found a good place for us. Let's go."
Wow.
See, this is very creepy. But it's very real.
True.
And the Apostle Peter also uses some very vivid imagery when he says that the animal, a specific animal, returns to what that animal threw up.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he eats it. So the reality of our faith then, let's look at our church. Mm-hmm. We would have people within our body of believers that would probably persecute others. How can we prevent ourselves from being persecuted from them?
Prevent yourself to be.
Can we prevent ourselves from being persecuted from them?
I think the only prevention you can do is not have this syndrome of being persecuted. Of calling out persecution.
Okay.
Of provoking persecution.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, persecution is normal.
Mm.
Jesus Christ said, "They persecuted me, they will persecute you."
Mm-hmm.
It's abnormal not to be persecuted.
Wow.
Wow. If
you're not persecuted, something is wrong. Somewhere, something is wrong.
So if everything is going really well, and I'm really happy with everybody around me.
Yes, you know, I used to say this as a pastor, you know, if all your congregation loves you, something is wrong, either with you or with your congregation. Because it can be that you are such a good manipulator, such a good pleaser, that you could fool for a time everybody. Or your congregation is so corrupt that they don't care, really.
They don't really care.
Yeah.
So they just love you.
Wow.
Because if you are ethical, if you do what you are supposed to do as a pastor, as a minister, as a leader, as a Christian, indeed, in the community of faith, you will get some heat.
And that's normal.
So how do you know that you're actually doing the right thing when you get the heat? What happens if everybody's saying you cannot do that because it's not the right thing? How do you know that that's really what you should be doing?
I believe knowing whether you are persecuting, you are being persecuted rightly or wrongly, is a very tricky reality. Because I've seen people, even in ministry, that had the conviction that they were right. They were 100% convinced that they are right, and they were badly wrong, hurting other people, killing the soul of other people. And this tricky reality can be misleading to people. Because some people have the impression if they use Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit often enough, then they really are with Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Just mm-hmm. just the thing that I said before, you know, there's no evil, no wickedness greater than when somebody in his or her wickedness takes God as an ally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And keep saying that, if it's needed and if it's not.
Mm.
Or the Holy Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit leading me in this direction, and the Holy Spirit told me, and the Holy Spirit, and most of the time, that's how you know somebody's wrong. Mm. Because if somebody is led by the Spirit, and if somebody is modeled by Jesus Christ, as a human being, has the power to say, you know, I may be wrong, but for that, I need to be proved wrong.
Okay.
So you allow for somebody, for the Holy Spirit, if not not human beings, right, to convince you that it may be different.
Mm.
Maybe something else. So I would as a sign of caution,
mm-hmm.
I would tell people this. Listen, when you see those beings, you know, that are so much like a lamb, but if you watch them carefully, you see that they bite.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what somebody asked me when I started ministry.
Hmm.
One of the first conversations I had with somebody in my first district, he said, "Pastor, have you ever seen a lamb that bites?"
Hmm.
And I said, "No, are there lambs that bite?"
Hmm.
Yeah, well, he said, "We will see." and indeed, by the end of my tenure there, I got it, because he was a lamb that bit. Okay, so yeah, watch out.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the Lamb,
yeah,
but he doesn't speak like the dragon.
He doesn't speak like the dragon, is very true.
Amen for that.
Yes.
So how
Amen for that.
As we go on our daily walk with God every day, how can we be assured of knowing that we are doing the right thing?
That's a subjective reality.
Okay.
You and the Lord.
Okay.
But it's the subjective reality from the outside that is the most objective reality from the inside. Let me explain that.
Mm.
When you do the right thing with God, and you know you are doing this because God wants you to do this,
mm-hmm.
and you get the heat for that,
mm.
from the outside, it may even look stupid.
Yes.
And you may say, okay, so now this is really, really just his world, you know. It's a subjective reality. I don't know. But for you, the one that has this connection with God, that's the most objective reality.
Mm.
Because you know.
Yes.
Because of your relationship with God.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And nobody can tell you, just because for them it's subjective, it is not objective.
Mm.
Okay, so I always tell people, be honest with God, be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
If you have to take the heat of it, take the heat of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but don't fall in the trap of calling out a persecution before time. Mm. Jesus was very careful, very, very cautious when it comes to persecution. He knew how to avoid direct confrontation,
mm-hmm.
up to the point where his time was come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? When his time had come, then he embraced persecution.
Right.
Okay.
But up to that point, he tried to avoid.
Yeah, he did.
Confrontation.
Right.
And in ministry, in the church, that thing can happen. You know, you may see the pastor sometime not reacting to some things.
Mm.
Most of the time, if there's wisdom, divine wisdom with that pastor, there's a reason why he doesn't react to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
No? But there will come a time that when you will see your pastor react to something. Okay. And you may think, oh, but why didn't you react at that time? Because it wasn't the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to allow evil to grow so other people can see as well that evil is evil.
Mm.
Because otherwise, you want to eliminate evil.
Mm.
But instead of eliminating evil, the saints will eliminate you.
Wow.
It's true. That's very true.
So yeah. Then what did you accomplish?
Yeah, it's true. Wow.
Wow.
Okay. You have anything else, Joe?
No. Believe me, I'm going to say a lamb.
Okay. Watch out.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
We appreciate that. That was a very deep message.
I feel like the Lord is pushing me into some things with this series.
Yeah. But these things need to be said, though, because they're not really talked about.
Sorry?
Some of these things need to be said because they're not spoken of.
Yeah. I agree.
That's true.
We don't even...
You know, we have...
talk about it.
Yeah, we have come to the place where we speak about the second coming of Jesus Christ, either in a triumphalist way, where hey, we are going home, you know, we are going home. Brothers, yeah. Sisters, I'm going home. I don't care, I'm going home. Mm-hmm. Watch. That's one trap.
Mm.
And I'm not saying we should not preach about Jesus' coming that way too.
Yeah,
but not only that way. And the other aspect is when you use the coming of Jesus Christ to let your congregation know how wrong everybody in this world is.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Very dangerous and misleading.
Yeah,
because you confirm to your believers, to your parishioners. To the sheep, you confirm that they are fine the way they are, because anyways, they are those that are saved and that they are going to heaven. All I want to get to heaven.
Mm.
And everybody else is lost.
Mm.
And that's not true.
Yeah.
I dare say that there will be more of people outside of the community of faith than inside of the community of faith that will be saved.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Because of the magnitude of the difference in numbers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Because salvation is not based on doctrine. Salvation is not based on works.
Hmm.
Salvation is by faith through God's grace.
In relationships, yeah.
And here is where somebody's honesty comes in play.
Mm. You
know? That's why if you see somebody that is wrong, don't jump and just judge that person and make him a devil or make her a devil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that person may be honest.
Yep.
And may persecute you because he or she is honest. Like the Apostle Paul.
Right.
But you never know when the turning point comes, when Jesus Christ shows up in his full splendor and Paul falls down like blind.
Yeah.
And from that point on, he's a different person.
Different person. Yeah.
Mm.
Very true. Very
so by God's grace, this is something I always tell myself. No matter how hard somebody hits you,
Mm.
never cut them off.
No, you can't. Mm. Can't.
Yeah.
Always give them a chance.
Amen.
A chance.
Amen.
Wow.
Okay.
Alrighty.
How was that, Don? How's it feel?
That was. It was very good.
All righty. Well, Pastor, once again, we thank you. Will you be speaking next Sabbath?
Yes, I'm continuing the series
next Sabbath. Okay.
And yesterday I had a revelation. I'm going to tell more about this. I'll tell you more about this in the sermon. How I got the revelation, where I got the revelation. But it's a very heavy topic.
I'm sure.
Very, very heavy.
I'm sure.
I'm suffering already.
Okay. All right. Well, Don, we pretty much wrapped that up. That's on this. Another good sermon. I wanted to give kudos to our pastor, our new pastor, Kevin McCoy. That guy's splendid. I like him.
It's awesome.
Wonderful, yeah. He's a wonderful young man.
Right, so I just wanted to give that out.
Yeah.
All right.
Humble, very approachable.
Yeah, he is. Very, very much so. It's one of the greatest central to the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right, Don. Ask your pastor as always. Well, I just know you had anything else, Don. Okay.
We'll pray first and then we'll do the birthday.
Gotcha. All right, Pastor, lead us out.
Yeah.
Let's pray.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we are humbled by the directness of your word.
Yes.
But we are thankful as well because you make us aware of reality. And we pray that none of us will be among the mocking mockers, among the bullying bullies. But we will really be those people that in a life of holiness and holy conduct and godliness, we will really hurry the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you so much, and we pray that you will bless all our listeners in Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor, I hope you have a wonderful day. Enjoy your family.
You too, guys.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I have a lot to work on before I can go home.
But, understood.
All righty.
Yes, all right. Thank you.
All right.
Take care, Pastor. And as always, to our listeners, thank you once again. Any questions and comments you have, via WhatsApp, 954-388-8780. And as the pastor said, don't let your lust kill your trust and your must.
Okay.
Catchy. I like it. All right, Don, take it away.
All right. So the birthdays for February. By the time this goes out, we would have had Brianna Corwitz and Latoya Malone because they're both on February 1st.
Okay.
And then Kishore and Kaylee.
Kishore.
And Kaylee Blanchard. Yeah, they're on February 2nd.
Okay.
Joanna Blanchard, she's on February 5th. And Basil Cheddar, too.
Basil, okay.
Yes. And Lee Demersus. I don't know if I pronounce him.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who that is.
And Anwar Bowers, they're on February 6th.
Anwar?
Anwar is on February 6th.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, gotcha. All right. Shout out to all those. Plus those, if you know them on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Happy birthday to everybody.
Definitely. And give them a shout out.
Birthday. Happy birthday.
That's from the pastor.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, wow. Yes. You got a song from the past.
Did you hear it? Did you hear the tone?
Okay.
All right, everybody. God bless.
All right.
Enjoy it. See you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Take care.